Tuesday, April 22nd. The lesson from Acts chapter 13, verses 16 and 26 through 33. In those days, Paul rising up and with his hands bespeaking silence, said, Ye men of Israel, and you that fear God, give ear. Men, brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fear God, to you the word of this salvation is sent. For they that inhabited Jerusalem, and the rulers thereof, not knowing him, nor the voices of the prophets which are read every Sabbath, judging him, have fulfilled them. And finding no cause of death in him, they desired of Pilate that they might kill him. And when they had fulfilled all things that were written of him, taking him down from the tree, they laid him in a sepulchre. But God raised him up from the dead the third day, who was seen for many days by them who came up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who to this present are his witnesses to the people. And we declare unto you that the promise which was made to our fathers, this same God hath fulfilled it to our children, raising up our Lord Jesus Christ. Haydock Commentary. He shows them that Jesus was their Messiah and the Son of God, begotten of his Father from eternity, who rose from the dead. And he applies these words from Psalm 2 to prove Christ's resurrection, Thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee. It is true these words regard chiefly the eternal generation of Christ, as they are applied by St. Paul, but the resurrection was a necessary consequence of his divinity, since death could have no power over him. The Gospel from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 47. At that time Jesus stood in the midst of them, and saith to them, Peace be to you, it is I, fear not. But they, being troubled and frightened, supposed that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your hearts? See my hands and feet, that it is I myself. Handle and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me to have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. But while they yet believed not, and wondered for joy, he said, Have you anything to eat? And they offered him a piece of broiled fish and a honeycomb. And when he had eaten before them, taking the remains, he gave to them, and he said to them, These are the words which I spoke to you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. And he said to them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise again from the dead the third day, and that penance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations. Haydock Commentary. The apostles thought they saw a spirit, either good or bad, that had taken the form of Jesus and was come to deceive them. For that they did not doubt spirits appeared, we have abundant proofs throughout the whole New Testament. And our Savior, instead of combating this opinion, seems rather to have confirmed it on more than one occasion. Indeed, St. Augustine thinks it cannot without temerity be denied that there are occasional apparitions of angels, of demons, and the souls of the dead. This, however, will not justify the credulity of many ignorant and weak people who think that nobody can die but that their spirit is sure to appear. Much less will it justify the superstitious observations of unusual occurrences which are so commonly reported to happen as significant of a departed soul. These occurrences are rare, nor should we suppose that the Almighty would be willing to suspend or change the established laws of nature without a sufficient cause, namely some known good either to the departed soul or surviving friends. A spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me to have. This was one argument of a true and real body. We may take notice that Christ brought such proofs as he knew were sufficient to convince them of his resurrection, though they were not of themselves demonstrations. For when they imagined they saw or touched a body, and that he eat with them, these things might apparently be done by a spirit. See Genesis 18 and Genesis 19, where we read that angels in the shape of men eat and took Lot and his wife and his daughters by the hand and led them away from Sodom. Our senses therefore may sometimes be deceived, as may be shown by diverse other instances. But the arguments which Christ made use of at this time to induce the apostles to believe his resurrection are to be taken with all the circumstances, as first, with the corroborating testimonies of the Holy Scriptures in which his resurrection was foretold, secondly, they called to their minds what he himself had told them so often, that he would rise again the third day, thirdly, concurred also the testimonies already given by the angels that he was risen, fourthly, the miracles at his death and resurrection, fifthly, Christ himself at the time opened their understanding to know and believe this truth that he was truly risen. Christ ate not because he stood in need of food to sustain himself after his resurrection, as we sustain our bodies and lives by corporal refreshment, but he did it to show his disciples that his body was really risen from the dead, so says Venerable Bede. If, after all the extraordinary opportunities of instruction which the apostles had had from the mouth of our divine Savior, it was still necessary that he should instill into them a new light by opening their minds to understand the Scriptures, what are we to think of the presumptuous attempts of the numerous tribe of modern self-inspired interpreters who are always ready to speak on the word of the Lord, though so perfectly ignorant that their authority, so far from being admitted, would be laughed to scorn were they to attempt to explain the slightest difficulty on the most indifferent subject of profane literature? To such a degree has the spirit of seduction spread itself at the present day.